Jim, the reason I asked you in this morning, obviously we've had that huge, huge storm Eowyn, but we're seeing so many more of these types of storms over the last while. We know that our winters are becoming significantly more difficult, more challenging for the council, for everyone to manage these sort of conditions. Looking specifically to Tramore, I know you're a man who loves to swim in the mornings. On those swims, you've seen certain things.
Yes, I suppose what I've noticed on the eastward, or the back end of the sand dune, shall we say, if people is not aware of the eastward side, is an alarming rate of sand dune removal through the coastal erosion. At times, if you are familiar with the sand dunes, you would be able to walk down through the sand dunes and come down at your leisure, and the sand dunes would bring you down onto the beach. At the moment, there's upwards of maybe 2.5 metres to somewhere around 5.5 metres of a drop. And that's with the amount of sand and marram grass that have been taken away just this weekend alone. I updated you with some photographs from this morning, and you can see the dark sand. And I just wanted to highlight, I just put a post up yesterday, and I was amazed with the amount of contributors I got and the amount of phone calls I got, both agreeing with something needs to be done and others saying leave it to nature.
And there is an argument for leave it to nature. The sand dunes have been there in my living memory, in most people's living memory. Where my mum and dad would live, where I grew up, is right at the top of a large hill. And you would see the vistas of the sand dunes, and they were enormous, it seemed to me, as a young child. It seems to me that over the years they've gotten smaller. Now, maybe that's, I've obviously gotten bigger, but there has been a lot of erosion where the sand dunes are concerned in terms of people climbing up them, but also this very, very changing climate that we're living in. And I did see Tramore Eco Group have a post up on social media, and they do phenomenal work where they're looking at going down, making a concerted effort to create fencing around it. Now, I suppose my first question is, are they allowed to do that, Jim?
Well, you know, what you said, back in years ago, I remember even the soccer clubs training in the sand dunes. And I suppose back then there was only a certain amount of people in our communities had a good understanding of an ecosystem. Now we're much better educated. And of course, our kids are too. And you only need to go up to Ardscull na Mar to see the educational aspect of the outdoor recreational side of there. Teaching. But the Eco Group, to answer your question, they're doing phenomenal work. There's loads of groups in Tramore actually doing great work down in and around sand dunes, Tidy Towns, the wildlife group. They are allowed to do what they're doing. They're putting up chestnut fencing tomorrow to try and claim back some of the eroded areas of the sand dunes. And it's in collaboration with the city council. But I suppose I observe from a distance, I don't like to get involved with too many groups as a politician, because I think then you get people that move away. They say, well, that's becoming a political group. I rather just ask, what can I help from a distance? And I do my own work down there with regards to cleaning and marram grass planting. But that is a collaboration with Waterford City Council. But if you look to, we say, the likes of the Maharees down in Kerry, where they had the similar issues in 2015 and 16 from coastal erosion, they kind of quickly realised that a little group doing this and a little group doing that, they were at nothing. They had to form a conservation group and meet this head on and get tangible resources around them, including financial backing, to make this a viable project to save the dune system in the Maharees. And I genuinely think that's what's needed now in Tramore as well. And, you know, they are doing brilliant work, the Eco Group. I'd love to be there with them tomorrow. We have a workshop in the council, so I won't be. But, you know, volunteers down there, they will do great work, but I think they need extra help. And that's why I'd be just asking that we make the group wider and bigger and more education from the council side as well.
And forgive my ignorance, Jim, because you know much more about this than I do. If we're going to erect chestnut fencing, etc. around it, it's still not going to stop, say, the huge, huge storms that we're getting, the high winds, from lowering the height of the sand dunes. And we can reclaim a certain amount of the sand that maybe has collapsed and fallen down, but we will continue to lose the height of the beautiful sand dunes. And that's nothing to do with human intervention. That's simply the weather.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you, Dinfna, but that's probably a visual experience for you. I'd be down there on a regular basis, especially with the helicopter memorial down there. I was involved in that at the time. That memorial hasn't changed much. It's still the same height as I remember it back 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago now, because it's coming up to their anniversary. But the main thing I suppose we have to think about is Le Salin. we say Ballinatin and down lower Tremor. This is a flood defence, first and foremost, and it also protects the ecosystem of the Backstrand and the flatlands that the Brent geese and all the other wildlife use in that area, in Lesailen especially, and down to Clernach. So I don't think I'd be too concerned about the height of it, but I wouldn't like to see it widening, especially at the Rhinoshark, because what I noticed in the photographs I showed you is going to allow a larger volume, a body of water into the Rhinoshark channel, which will affect the Backstrand eventually and will affect the Saline site, which have a dune system as well, a fragile system too. I know if you look at the Saline side, we had Kitchen Middens years ago where a nomadic tribe used to come. I'm going back now many generations where they would travel around the coast and they'd spend several months in an area. And the Kitchen Middens were darkened areas of clay and sand in the Saline side. And you would see huge deposits of shellfish and cockle shells. They're all exposed now. A few years back, you'd have a job to find one of the little Kitchen Middens. Now, they're very visible. And I go as far as saying we're nearly losing them. The Saline side is suffering because of the volume of water coming through the Rhinoshark. And that's why I think we need to have the conversation about protecting the back end of the sand dunes as well.
And a concerted effort, as you were pointing out there.
Yes, because, I mean, they're calling for the volunteers for tomorrow, for Wednesday. And, you know, it's great. And I love to see the volunteers because this is what will make it happen. Mm-hmm. And even
ownership of the community.
Ownership in the community. Bring the people to journey with you. And it don't need to cost a fortune. You know, we have volunteers out there that will help. And I think if we shared it out to the children and summer tours that schools can go there, you might get one in three children pick up on it and they'll bring that aspect into their mm-hmm. life and they'll continue to do that throughout their life, continue to go down there with their children and plant marum grass and save these systems that we have.
And is that what has to be done, Jim, in your view? Like when you look down to, say, the likes of Kerry, where you were referring to, what did they do that saved things? Because if I look at the sand dunes now and I think in 50 years, 100 years, will they still look the same? The answer is maybe, maybe not. Nobody really knows for sure. But certain damage will be done because our storms are becoming increasingly more aggressive.
Correct, yeah. And you know, and some of my posts, you had people saying, leave them alone. It's a dynamic system and ecosystem. But equally, our weather is after getting very dynamic lately and we have these storms coming hot and heavy. But there's a quick solution. If you go into the nuts and bolts of it, there's kind of quick engineering models that'll fix it. And then there's long-term engineering models that will fix it. But really, what they're doing in the Maharees, I visited Castle Gregory and I am going back down there again this May, is the fencing and immediate planting. Like the marum grass and the sea oats, they're like a scaffolding. And when you plant them, the root system grows. It can go, one plant can go up to 25 metres in a very short space of time. You know, that's phenomenal. And you know, they don't need a lot of water, but they bind the sands coming in. And you look at the spit between Saline and the back strand at the moment and the front strand, and it's widening the whole time. But there's a huge deposit of sand. If we can trap that sand, and I think like the volunteers tomorrow, if they can plant marum grass, I think we have a great chance of saving the dunes. I don't think there's a huge level of urgency, but I don't think we can leave it to another 3 to 5 years either.
Well, Jim, a very interesting conversation this morning. Thank you so very much for coming in.
Welcome. It's
good
me.
To see yourself.
Yeah, you invited me in many times, Ollie. I only ever got in on the Darkness into Light mornings. So, Jim, I'm going to thank you this morning for having me in.
Well, Jim, you can thank me, but I will thank you because you brought us in still warm, hot cross buns. You know the way to my heart, Jim Griffin. That's all I'm telling you.
Homemade at that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, better again. Yeah. Top marks.
Look, delighted to be here and thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Jim,
thank you so very much. Appreciate that.